Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I'd like to welcome you in the Savior's name to this Let the Bible Speak broadcast, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around His Word, and that as He speaks to us, and we trust it'll be a blessing to our souls. We're going to have a word of prayer, and let's still our hearts in God's presence and seek His blessing even upon our time of worship together. Let's pray. Our loving God and gracious Father, we bow before Thee in our Savior's worthy and precious name. We thank Thee, Lord, for our approach unto Thee through Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for the precious blood that He shed that brings us nigh unto Thee. Lord, we who were once strangers and afar off, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And Lord, I come to Thee as a child to my Heavenly Father, and I ask for Your blessing upon our gathering, even, Lord, as we meet around Your truth. We pray, Lord, that as we worship Thee, that we would worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Give us, O God, an ear to hear Your word. I pray, O God, that all that will be done to the glory and honor of Thy great name. We thank and praise You, O God, for a word that has been placed into our hands. And Lord, we pray that in everything Thy dear Son will be magnified and glorified. Hear us for Christ's sake. For these things we pray in His precious and His worthy name. Amen. I'm going to turn to the Word of God and read from Acts 24, Acts chapter 24. I'm going to break into the chapter at verse 22 and read through to the end of the chapter. So Acts 24, and commencing our reading at verse 22. Let's hear the Word of the living God. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Amen. And again, we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his truth to all our hearts. We're going to listen to a hymn of praise that is Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Hugh Latimer was an English reformer who often preached before King Henry VIII of England. On one occasion, Latimer offended the king with his bold message, so he was commanded to preach the following weekend and make an apology. However, the next Sunday, after reading his text, Latimer, conscious that he was God's messenger and stood before the great King of Heaven, proceeded to give the exact same sermon he had preached the week before, only with more fire and urgency. And this is the kind of preacher that the Apostle Paul was. He was fearless and courageous, and he did not cut the cloth to suit the crowd. In the context of the portion that we read, Paul, we find him here in custody in a city called Caesarea. He is there because of the gospel message that he preached, boldly declaring that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. He was summoned to stand trial before a man called Felix, who was an official of the then Roman Empire. Humanly speaking, Felix had power and authority over Paul, and he could release him, ordering his discharge, or keep him bound and sentence him to death. Felix was a sinful man. History informs us he was an adulterer, having taken Drusilla, the wife of another man, to be his own. He was covetous and greedy, for we read in verse 26 that he hoped to be given some bribes for the release of Paul while he was in office. He had no love for God, but only for self. However, the status and the sinfulness of Felix did not hinder Paul from taking his opportunity to speak to him about the matters of his eternal soul. There was absolutely no compromise in Paul's message. He did not fear the one who had the keys to the prison. He feared the one who had the keys to hell and death. Acts 24, verse 25 is our text. And as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Here was a man, here was an individual who was trembling but not trusting. Trembling but not trusting. And as we consider this, we're going to think about three things. I want to draw them to your attention from this verse 25 of Acts chapter 24. Firstly, the discourse that Felix heard. Though we don't have all that the Apostle Paul preached, for we could translate the word reasoned as preached, we do have the sum and substance of his discourse in three particular words. It tells us there, and as he, that's Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Taken by the Holy Spirit and applied to Felix's heart, the truth summarized by each of those three words convicted him. Firstly, we have the word righteousness. Righteousness is the quality of being upright, conforming perfectly to the standard of God. It involves the rightness and character before God and rightness and actions before men. And Felix was many things, but he was not righteous. He was a breaker of God's law. As I mentioned, he had committed adultery. He was willing to deny justice with a bribe, and therefore he was a liar to the truth. He was not upright, but he was crooked and did not conform perfectly to God's standard, but came short of it. Just like us all, he was a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 10 tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And therein lies a great difficulty and problem for sinners. For if any are to enter heaven, they must be righteous in God's sight, because God cannot lower his perfect standard of holiness. But I'm sure that Paul did not stop short at exposing the unrighteousness of Felix, but he would have gone on to declare the gospel in which the righteousness of God is revealed. The Apostle Paul, he wrote a letter to Christians at Rome. It's the book we find in the New Testament called Romans, in which he spoke about the righteousness of God. For example, in Romans 3, verse 21, he writes there of the righteousness of God, which is witnessed by the law and the prophets. And this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was prophesied of in the Old Testament. Christ is the one who is perfectly righteous and who did conform to God's perfect standard, because he did not sin and he could not sin. The Savior lived a life of perfect righteousness on the behalf of others and in the place of others who could not do so for themselves. All who trust in him have his righteousness cover them as a robe. I'm sure Paul mentioned these things to Felix. But the second word that is mentioned that really is giving a summary of the sermon is temperance. And the word temperance, it means self-control, moderation, or restraint. But Felix had none of this. He burned with lustful passion and had to have another man's wife.
That was a display of self-centeredness and the inability to resist temptation, for he had a heart which was inclined towards sin, and he willfully, he fulfilled the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And so it is with the sinner today. They desire to do as they please and as they like, living in unrestrained sin. There is no temperance. Instead of moderation, self-control, and restraint, what do we see? We see excess and riotous behavior and sinful practices and lifestyle. You have drunkenness, immorality, gluttony, greed, are just some examples of the lack of temperance that we find in society today. The third word that is used is judgment. In the Greek, we could read it like this: the judgment to come. And Paul here, he outlines to Felix and those that were standing in that court of law, he outlines to them that there is coming a judgment day, a day in which God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had told Felix earlier in his defense of the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There was a day coming in which Felix would not be in the seat of judgment, but he would be before the seat of God's judgment. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we are told, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." In that day, when we stand before the judgment bar, God will separate the sheep from the goats, the saved from the unsaved, the righteous from the unrighteous, those who are not born-again Christians and whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're told, will be cast into the lake of fire, a place of eternal torment and punishment. This is the discourse that Felix heard. But secondly, we find in this verse 25, the disturbance Felix felt. When Felix heard the message, the Bible tells us that he trembled. The message had an impact upon him. Felix, whose name means happy, was disturbed. And people do not remain neutral or impartial or unaffected when they hear the gospel message preached. Some acquiesce the message. They agree with it. They believe it. And it gladdens their hearts. Others laugh at it. They shrug it off. They scorn it. They reject it. Some even get angry with it. But here, Felix displays for us another reaction that people have when they hear the message. He trembled. He was afraid. He was disturbed. Now, why would any individual tremble when they hear God's message? Well, it's because the conscience has been pricked and they feel conviction. They come under the weight of the guilt of their unrighteousness and sin. And this is what happened, Felix, the burden of sin, the guilt of it, and the impending judgment that was to come. It was all pressing in upon his soul. The law of God is written on the heart of man. Though it has been defaced somewhat by man's fall into sin, it's still there. And how can I prove that? Simply, when someone lies, what happens? Usually they blush. Or when someone steals, what do they try to do? They try to cover it over, conceal what they have done. Why? Because the law is written upon their heart. This is an evidence. When people blush, when people try to cover over what they have done, knowing it to be wrong, it's an evidence that they feel their guilt and that they know there is a standard to which we don't measure up to. And the breaking of that moral standard, it brings guilt. And a guilty soul is a disturbed soul. Maybe I'm preaching to someone and your soul is disturbed. You're troubled about the terrors of the final reckoning with God. at the great white throne judgment. You tremble at the thought of unending punishment and everlasting torments. And I'm preaching to someone who is like Felix, and you're disturbed. This disturbance is one of the many reasons why people try to avoid God's message. For it pricks the conscience, it troubles the soul, it disturbs the false peace that people have. They want nothing to do with God's message because it exposes a sinful condition of their heart. Christ himself said that men, they love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, should be corrected, should be warned. And that's why men and women, sinful men and women, many of them don't want to pick up the word of God or go to a place that preaches the word, because they'll feel convicted, they'll be disturbed. See, the message of the Bible, it strips sinners of anything in which we can boast or glory, in and of ourselves, and it leaves us trembling before the all-seeing eye of a holy God. Yet, we bring good news, because it's also in the Bible we're told of Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross so that troubled and trembling sinners might have peace with God. You can have peace with God. But it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that purges the sinner's conscience. His blood alone washes away the stain and removes the guilt of sin. Felix trembled when he heard the word. The disturbance that Felix felt. But in the last place, we have the deferral Felix made. Felix was scared, but not saved. Trembling, but not trusting. Convicted, but not converted. He answers Paul with these words, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He told the preacher to go away. Paul's message was too close to the bone for his liking. The word of God had pierced him like a sword and discerned his thoughts and motives, showing them to be evil. And so he made a deferral of dealing with the matter of his soul. "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And maybe you're saying that in your heart, the exact same thing as Felix. Go away with that message, preacher. I don't want to hear of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment. These things trouble my soul. It's uneasy for me to listen to. You might think to yourself, it's not really a convenient time for me to obey the gospel, to repent and believe. You might feel your life's too busy becoming a Christian and turning from sin and trusting in Christ would really interfere with your plans as you live your life for self and sin. It would mean a complete change to your lifestyle. You might feel you're too young, and now's not convenient. When you're older and you've lived your life, then an opportune moment will arise. You maybe feel that you're healthy and successful in business and wealthy and prosperous. And you say in your heart, you know, "Come to me with that message, preacher, when I'm sick or I'm dying. Come to me when I'm old and gray, or when I've fallen upon hard times, but not now. Not now. It's not convenient. Go thy way for this time." And you put off what you should do in this very moment. Though we read in verse 26 that Felix heard Paul again speak about these matters, after 2 years, he was replaced by another governor, and history records that he died, this man, Felix, died from tuberculosis with no record of him turning to Christ. You may hear the gospel again, but no one is guaranteed they will. We are not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day brings forth. Now is a convenient time and season for you to be saved. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. J.C. Ryle said, tomorrow is the devil's day, but today is God's. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions, if only they are determined to be done tomorrow. And you're promising yourself tomorrow, sinner. I'll attend to that tomorrow, while God is speaking to you now, at this very moment, through the Word. While your heart is troubled, now is the time to flee to Christ and find peace through the blood of His cross. The hymn writer, he penned the words, a more convenient season might never come. There's danger in further delay. Oh, wait not for tomorrow that may not come, nor harden your heart today. Don't be like Felix and defer the matter, but repent. Trust in Christ. Come to Him. He will receive you. And you will have peace with God. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we close our meeting. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank the Lord for the warning that we have here, and Lord, the instruction given through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. I pray for any that may be troubled, that they would not defer the matter, but they would flee to Christ, the one who lived the life of perfect righteousness and died in a sinner's stead, that they would trust in His atoning blood and have peace with God. Accept of our praise and thanksgiving, because I pray this in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.